Chapter 121. Affectionately. How well she looked, considering her time of life. I could make her seem older at once, by being myself so much younger. I may not be as handsome as she is. I am not a fair judge of that question, I suppose, but I know I am handsome enough to be a thorn in her side. And I would be. Apostrophe, my dear sister, would you condemn yourself to an unhappy life for this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it wouldn't be an unhappy life, Amy. It would be the life I am fitted for. Whether by disposition, or whether by circumstances, is no matter. I am better fitted for such a life than for almost any other. Apostrophe, there was something of a desolate tone in those words. But, with a short proud laugh she took another walk, and after passing a great looking glass came to another stop. Figure. Figure, Amy. Well, the woman has a good figure. I will give her her due, and not deny it. But is it so far beyond all others, that it is altogether unapproachable? Upon my word, I am not so sure of it. Give some much younger woman the latitude, as to dress that she has, being married. And we would see about that, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, something in the thought, that was agreeable and flattering, brought her back to her seat in a gayer temper. She took her sister's hands in hers, and clapped all four hands above her head as she looked in her sister's face laughing. And the dancer, Amy, that she has quite forgotten the dancer who bore no sort of resemblance to me, and of whom I never remind her, oh dear no. Should dance through her life, and dance in her way, to such a tune as would disturb her insolent placidity a little. Just a little, my dear Amy, just a little. Apostrophe, apostrophe, meeting an earnest and imploring look in Amy's face, she brought the four hands down, and laid only one on Amy's lips. Now, don't argue with me, child, apostrophe, she said in a sterner way, because it is of no use. I understand these subjects much better than you do. I have not nearly made up my mind, but it may be. Now we have talked this over comfortably, and may go to bed. You best and dearest little mouse, good night. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with those words Fanny weighed her anchor, and having taken so much advice left off being advised for that occasion. Thenceforward, Amy observed Mr. Sparkler's treatment by his enslaver, with new reasons for attaching importance to all that passed between them. There were times when Fanny appeared quite unable to endure his mental feebleness, and when she became so sharply impatient of it, that she would all but dismiss him for good. There were other times, when she got on much better with him, when he amused her, and when her sense of superiority seemed to counterbalance that opposite side of the scale. If Mr. Sparkler had been other than the faithfulest and most submissive of swains, he was sufficiently hard-pressed to have fled from the scene of his trials, and have set at least the whole distance from Rome to London between himself and his enchantress. But he had no greater will of his own than a boat has, when it is towed by a steamship. And he followed his cruel mistress through rough and smooth, on equally strong compulsion. Mrs. Myrtle, during these passages, said little to Fanny, but said more about her. She was, as it were, forced to look at her through her eyeglass, and in general conversation, to allow commendations of her beauty to be wrung from her by its irresistible demands. The defiant character it assumed, when Fanny heard these extollings, as it generally happened that she did, was not expressive of concessions to the impartial bosom, but the utmost revenge the bosom took was, to say audibly, a spoilt beauty, but with that face and shape, who could wonder? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it might have been about a month, or 6 weeks after the night of the new advice, when little Dorrit began to think she detected some new understanding between Mr. Sparkler and Fanny. Mr. Sparkler, as if in attendance to some compact, scarcely ever spoke without first looking towards Fanny for leave. That young lady was too discreet ever to look back again. But, if Mr. Sparkler had permission to speak, she remained silent. If he had not, she herself spoke. Moreover, it became plain whenever Henry Gowan attempted to perform the friendly office of drawing him out, that he was not to be drawn. And not only that, but Fanny would presently, without any pointed application in the world, chance to say something with such a sting in it that Gowan would draw back, as if he had put his hand into a beehive. There was yet another circumstance which went a long way to confirm Little Dorrit in her fears, though it was not a great circumstance in itself. Mr. Sparkler's demeanor towards herself changed. It became fraternal. Sometimes, when she was in the outer circle of assemblies at their own residence, at Mrs. Myrtle's, or elsewhere, she would find herself stealthily supported round the waist by Mr. Sparkler's arm. Mr. Sparkler never offered the slightest explanation of this attention, but merely smiled with an air of blundering, contented, good-natured proprietorship, which, in so heavy a gentleman, was ominously expressive. Little Dorrit was at home one day, thinking about Fanny with a heavy heart. They had a room at one end of their drawing-room suite, nearly all irregular bay window, projecting over the street, and commanding all the picturesque life and variety of the Corso, both up and down. At 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, English time, the view from this window was very bright and peculiar, and Little Dorrit used to sit and muse here, much as she had been used to while away the time in her balcony at Venice. Seated thus one day, she was softly touched on the shoulder, and Fanny said, "Well, Amy dear," apostrophe, and took her seat at her side. Their seat was a part of the window. When there was anything in the way of a procession going on, they used to have bright draperies hung out of the window, and used to kneel or sit on this seat, and look out at it, leaning on the brilliant color. But there was no procession that day, and Little Dorrit was rather surprised by Fanny's being at home at that hour, as she was generally out on horseback then. "Well, Amy," apostrophe said Fanny, "what are you thinking of, little one?" Apostrophe, "I was thinking of you, Fanny." Apostrophe, "No? What a coincidence. I declare here's someone else. You were not thinking of this someone else too, were you, Amy?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Amy had been thinking of this someone else too, for it was Mr. Sparkler. She did not say so, however, as she gave him her hand. Mr. Sparkler came and sat down on the other side of her, and she felt the fraternal railing come behind her, and apparently stretch on to include Fanny. "Well, my little sister," apostrophe said Fanny with a sigh, "I suppose you know what this means?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "She's as beautiful as she's doted on," apostrophe stammered Mr. Sparkler, "and there's no nonsense about her, it's arranged," apostrophe, "you needn't explain, Edmund," apostrophe said Fanny. "No, my love," apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler. "In short, pet," apostrophe proceeded Fanny, "on the whole, we are engaged. We must tell Papa about it either tonight or tomorrow, according to the opportunities. Then it's done, and very little more need be said." Apostrophe, "my dear Fanny," apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler, "with deference, I should like to say a word to Amy." Apostrophe, "Well, well. Say it for goodness' sake," apostrophe returned the young lady. "I am convinced, my dear Amy," apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler, "that if ever there was a girl, next to your highly endowed and beautiful sister, who had no nonsense about her," apostrophe, "we know all about that, Edmund," apostrophe interposed Miss Fanny. "Never mind that. Pray go on to something else besides our having no nonsense about us." Apostrophe, "Yes, my love," apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler. "And I assure you, Amy, that nothing can be a greater happiness to myself, myself next to the happiness of being so highly honored with the choice of a glorious girl who hasn't an atom of apostrophe, pray, Edmund, pray." Apostrophe, apostrophe, interrupted Fanny, with a slight pat of her pretty foot upon the floor. "My love, you're quite right," apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler, "and I know I have a habit of it. What I wished to declare was, that nothing can be a greater happiness to myself, myself next to the happiness of being united to preeminently the most glorious of girls than to have the happiness of cultivating the affectionate acquaintance of Amy. I may not myself, apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler manfully, be up to the mark on some other subjects at a short notice, and I am aware, that if he were to poll society the general opinion would be that I am not, but on the subject of Amy I am up to the mark. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Sparkler kissed her, in witness thereof. A knife and fork and an apartment, apostrophe proceeded Mr. Sparkler, growing, in comparison with his oratorical antecedents, quite diffuse, will ever be at Amy's disposal. My governor, I am sure, will always be proud to entertain one whom I so much esteem. And regarding my mother, apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler, who is a remarkably fine woman, with apostrophe, Edmund, Edmund. Apostrophe apostrophe cried Miss Fanny, as before. With submission, my soul, apostrophe pleaded Mr. Sparkler. I know I have a habit of it, and I thank you very much, my adorable girl, for taking the trouble to correct it, but my mother is admitted on all sides, to be a remarkably fine woman, and she really hasn't any. Apostrophe, that may be, or may not be, apostrophe returned Fanny, but pray don't mention it any more. Apostrophe, I will not, my love, apostrophe said Mr. Sparkler. Then, in fact, you have nothing more to say, Edmund, have you? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Fanny. So far from it, my adorable girl, apostrophe answered Mr. Sparkler, I apologize for having said so much. Apostrophe, Mr. Sparkler perceived, by a kind of inspiration, that the question implied had he not better go? He therefore withdrew the fraternal railing, and neatly said, that he thought he would, with submission, take his leave. He did not go without being congratulated by Amy, as well as she could discharge that office in the flutter and distress of her spirits. When he was gone, she said, Oh Fanny, Fanny! Apostrophe apostrophe and turned to her sister in the bright window, and fell upon her bosom and cried there. Fanny laughed at first, but soon laid her face against her sister's and cried too a little. It was the last time Fanny ever showed that there was any hidden, suppressed, or conquered feeling in her on the matter. From that hour the way she had chosen lay before her, and she trod it with her own imperious self-willed step. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.